Let's open the scriptures to the book of Romans, chapter 11. The book of Romans, chapter 11. That last song that we sang, I wish that we had the additional words, which we don't. But I would ask you to indulge me as I correct some words that need to be corrected. It says he bled for Adam's helpless race. No, he did not. He bled and died for his own elect race, not Adam's race. He didn't redeem everybody of Adam's race. He did redeem somebody. He redeemed his people. And so I just refuse to sing that he bled. He died for Adam's helpless race. I say he bled and died for his chosen race. Or you can sing his own helpless race. But just don't sing it the way it's written. That's wrong. That's wrong. He didn't take on him Adam's seed. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Abraham. That's sermon number one. Sermon number two coming up. It'll be a little longer. Romans chapter 11. Let me get a drink of water before I get going. You know, God inspired the apostle to write these words, the apostle Paul. It wasn't his first letter that he wrote, but it is of such significance that in the wisdom of that God gave to men many years ago, it was put first among the letters of the Apostle Paul. He was the one who was inspired of the words, but actually he didn't write the words. You might hold your place there in Romans 11. Look at the last chapter, the 22nd verse. Chapter 16 of Romans, verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. I, Tertius. And I can just imagine, as the apostle spoke the words, the Spirit of God whispered them in the ear, into the very soul of Paul. And then the apostle Paul, using this man Tertius as his secretary. We don't know why he used him. Maybe it was because, you know, tradition says he was having trouble with his eyesight. But whatever the reason, it's the apostle who was inspired with the letter, and he gave it to this man Tertius to write, and he took out his quill and dipped it in the ink, and he's writing on the parchment or whatever. And I just wonder if when the apostle gets to chapter 11 in verse 33, and just before he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, I wonder if he didn't just say to this man Tertius, brother, put on your quill for just a minute. Let's think about what God has said through this letter. Oh, brother Tertius, you remember how the letter began? As God identified and God defined his gospel. This gospel that he says was concerning his son. That's how the book begins. And I can just hear the apostle saying, oh, Tertius, isn't this a wonderful gospel? It's the gospel concerning God's son. Brother Tertius, this isn't the gospel of you and me. This is not the message of what we've done. It's not the message of what God has done and then we add it to what He did. Oh no, Brother Tertius, think back. It's the gospel of God concerning His Son. That one who is the seed of David, whose own divinity, His sonship, was evidenced by His resurrection from the dead. And you know, Tertius, God gave me this gospel. God instructed me in this message of redemption and reconciliation. And God has put a burden on my heart so that you remember how we wrote there in chapter 1, the very first part of the letter, that I told you I'm a debtor to both Jew and Gentile. And I'm not ashamed of this gospel, Tertius. And don't you be ashamed of it either. Because this gospel of good news, this gospel of glad tidings, this gospel of grace for the sinful, this gospel of blood redemption, this gospel of imputed righteousness, why, Tertius, it's the very power of God unto salvation. To everybody who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For you know, Brother Tertius, in this gospel is the righteousness of God set forth and declared. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You remember, Brother Tertius, how we went on to say nextly that God has worked in our hearts. He has circumcised us deep within. And that's what the second chapter, he goes into that in the second chapter. He says, you remember, God did a work of grace in us. Oh, the Lord Jesus did the work of grace for us. But the Spirit of God has done the work of grace in us. He has revealed the Son to us. And I'll tell you, Tertius, He is a Jew who is not one outwardly according to the flesh. But He is a Jew who is one inwardly. Whose very soul and heart has been wounded by the sword of God's Spirit. Because you know, Tertius, remember how we wrote there in the third chapter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seek after God. There's none who understands. And you know, as we wrote, Brother Tertius, remember by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, but we're justified by grace freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, Brother Tertius, isn't this a gospel worth rejoicing about? Be glad in the Lord, Tertius. Remember how we wrote that the righteousness of God is imputed to us. We said that in the fourth chapter. And received by faith. Abraham wasn't justified by works. He was justified by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he received by faith, which also we receive by faith. And oh, how blessed is the man, that man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. And remember, Brother Tertius, how we went on to say in chapter 5 that by one man's disobedience, we were all made sinners. But by the obedience of the God-man, the many that he represented were made righteous. So that, Brother Tertius, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And remember, Brother Tertius, how we went on to say in chapter 6 that we're dead with Jesus Christ. We're justified from every effect of sin. And therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies because you're not under law. You're under grace. And remember this always, Brother Tertius. And I pray that all who read this will remember that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, oh, the gift of God, that is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know it's got to be that way, Brother Tertius, because you know what a struggle we have within. We brought that out in the 7th chapter. The new man and the old man struggling within. And Brother Tertius, it brings us to say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And remember, oh Tertius, how in the same breath I went on to say, "I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. I have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ." And oh, Brother Tertius, remember how we wrote chapter 8, which will become one of the favorite chapters of all of God's people down through the ages. And do you remember how it began, brother? Let me refresh your memory, the Apostle Paul said, just in case you forgot, Tertius. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Because what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, Tertius, isn't that good news? What we couldn't do because we can't obey God's law, God found the way to do. He condemned sin in the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we would live forever. Oh, Brother Tertius, isn't this a glorious gospel? And you know, Tertius, we wrote about the Spirit of grace. God's given us the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. The Spirit teaches us. The Spirit dwells within us. We walk in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We're instructed by the Spirit. And even when we pray, it's the Spirit who helps our infirmities. Oh, thank God for His Spirit, Tertius. The Spirit who, when we don't know how to pray or what to pray, we can't even put the desires and the petitions of our hearts into words. Oh, Tertius, thank God the Spirit of the Lord knows what the burdens of our hearts are. He puts them in words to the throne of grace. Because we groan in this body, just like all of creation does. All of creation groans beneath the burden and the very presence of sin. And it longs for that day when everything will be made new. And we do too, don't we, Tertius? And I can hear Brother Tertius saying, "That's right, Paul, I agree with you. I groan within me." But the Apostle Paul says, "But remember this, Tertius. Even though we have lots of hardships that we have to go through with, oh, let us always remember, Tertius, that all things are working together for our good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, because you know, Tertius, whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And whom He foreknew, He predestinated. Whom He predestinated, them He called. Whom He called, them He justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified." Oh, Tertius, what should we say to these things? Well, I'll tell you, brother, we'll say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not in Him freely give us all things? Who is he that condemneth, Tertius? It's Christ Jesus who died for us. Yea, rather is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. And oh, Tertius, can anybody separate us from the love of God? Oh, no, brother. Not life, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, which love is given to us sovereignly. Because remember, Tertius, he says, the Lord said to Moses, "I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion upon whom I'll have compassion." You know, Tertius, he's the great potter, and we're the clay. He molds some vessels into honor, and some vessels into dishonor, all to fulfill his purpose. And thank God, Tertius, that the Lord uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. After all, Tertius, how can we know anything about God unless somebody preaches to us? How can we know the way unless somebody preaches to us? And how can anybody preach to us unless God's pleased to send them? And you know, Tertius, behold the wisdom and the unusual, unfathomable ways of God. The gospel is going forth to the Gentiles, Tertius, even through my lips. And I want you to think, Brother Tertius, of the mysterious way that God works. He blinds the Jews. He's blinded the Jews, the Jewish nation. And in so doing, the gospel is then sent to the Gentiles. And God's doing this, Tertius. All of this is of the Lord. Oh, Tertius! Now he gets up to chapter 11 and verse 33. He says, "Now, Brother Tertius, write this. Get that quill ready again. Get that quill done in that inkwell. Are you ready?" "Yes, Brother Paul, I'm ready." "Write this. Oh, the depths, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God." Did you get that? "Yes, sir." "All right, wait, I'm not finished yet. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again?" You got that? "Yes, sir." Before we stop for the day, Tertius, you've got to write this down. Because this brings everything to a crescendo. Here's the very high point of it all. You ready? "Yes, sir." "For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever." Amen. Put a period and put your pen down. We're through for this session. What a statement. What a statement. Verse 36. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever." Here's the title of the message: The Origin and the Purpose of All Things. Here's the origin of all things. They're of God. They're of him. They're through him. Here's the purpose of all things. They're to him. That is, for his glory. For his glory. I can hear the apostles saying, "Oh, my brother, isn't your heart thrilled with God's purpose to save, God's purpose to justify, God's purpose to declare righteous, to give everlasting life to such unworthy, sinful creatures as we are? Oh, what wisdom! What wisdom is manifested in the gospel answering this great question that has baffled men for ages and ages? That question being, how can God be just and justify the ungodly?" Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom of God. God's wisdom. God's knowledge. God's judgments. God's ways. I mentioned recently in a message I was reading on the internet about very famous people, well-known people, wealthy people, actors, owners of large corporations that are openly avowed atheists. Men who deny the very presence and the existence of God. Well, the Apostle Paul, he says of this God that they deny exists, he says that all things are of God, through God, and to God. Our Lord has made all things. All things exist for His glory, and that includes you. And that includes me, for His glory. This is a statement which is mind-boggling. I very much believe in God. Say, well, can you sort of explain your God to me? No, I can't. He's one in three and three in one. Figure that out. You can't figure it out. These things are past finding out. Listen, if His ways are past finding out, what about His person? He's past finding out. Well, I want a God I can wrap my mind around. Well, there are lots of gods like that around here being preached. But the God of glory, the God of grace, the God of creation, the God of providence, the God of salvation, His ways, they're past finding out. You'll never wrap your mind around this God. You see, faith will go out and swim in deep waters when reason can only wade in the shallow parts. That's right, reason, mental, our own intelligence can just wade in shallow waters. Because if you're only going to believe what you can comprehend and understand, you can't go out in the deep waters. But faith will venture out into the deepest of waters and say, I can't understand God. I can't comprehend His ways. But bless the name of God, I believe Him. I rest in His Word. I believe Him. I can't touch Him. I can't feel Him. I can't embrace Him. I can't see Him with these eyes, but whom, having not seen, I love Him. Don't you? I love Him. This is faith. Faith that believes the Word of God. Faith that believes God is who He says He is. Faith to believe that I am who He says I am. And faith to believe the Lord Jesus Christ that He is and He did exactly who God says He is and what God says He did. That's what faith does. And you don't have faith unless God is pleased to give it to you. And He doesn't have to give it to you. He gives it to whom He will. Oh God, give us faith. Oh God, open up my old proud, hard heart and give me faith to believe You, to believe Your Word, and then to enter into what the Apostle Paul said to Tertius and what he wrote on parchment. This record and this testimony of God that shall stand when this earth shall stand no longer, this will still be standing. That of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To this God be glory forever. To this God. What things? What things? All things. This is such a comprehensive statement. All things. Not most things. Not just the good things. Well, I don't think God has anything to do with the bad things that happen. Well, you're wrong again. You're wrong again. Job said, shall we receive good things at the hand of God and not evil things as well? Things that are so displeasing to the flesh. Isn't God behind those just like He's behind what we call the blessings? Oh, yes, He is. When the servant came and told Job, you've lost everything you've got. And Job, the worst thing of all is a wind came. God sent His wind. Your children, all seven of them, seven boys, three girls, their families is all having a big feast, and they were underneath some kind of their dwelling or something or other, and a wind came by and blew it all down. They all died, Job. And Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord's taken away. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, even the winds of life. Even the storm that takes away my loved ones, Job said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. He's the origin of all things, and He's His glory is the purpose of all things. He's the origin of creation, and He's the purpose of creation. God then made the world. Well, preacher, I've heard scientists say, I've got a teacher in biology or earth science or whatever, they say that creation, that's just believed by fools. Just call me a fool, man. Yeah, because I'm one of those that believes the Word of God. In 6 days, God made the heaven and the earth and all that in them is. Well, I believe. I believe what God says. I'm not going to believe what your textbook says. I'm not going to believe what the scientist says, because he demands facts that he can see and interpret. He demands something he can touch and lay hold of before he'll believe it. I just believe the Word of God. That God called everything into being out of nothing. Out of nothing. He spake, it stood fast. That's what I believe. Well, I wish you'd explain that. Brother Scott Richardson said, I'm not in the splaining business. I'm in the proclaiming business. I'm in the preaching business. I'm proclaiming things I can't comprehend. I'm proclaiming a God I can't comprehend. But I believe and I proclaim a gospel I can't fully comprehend. But I know this, Christ in due time died for the ungodly. I know that. And I know this by the Spirit of God's leadership and teaching. I'm one of the ungodly ones. And I believe He died for me. He's all my hope. He's all my plea. This Jesus Christ who gave His life for me. I venture on out into the deep water. I tell you, just go out there and swim and swim and swim. The origin of creation, the purpose of creation is for God's glory. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. For Thy pleasure. I was walking not too long ago in an area where not too many people walk and go, and I saw a deer. And he run over the bank, and so I kind of stepped over the bank just to see if I could see where he went, and there was some wildflowers growing. I thought, if that rascal hadn't jumped over there and kind of tweaked my interest and my curiosity, I'd have never ventured up there and over the hill to see those wildflowers. Somebody says, well, wonder why those wildflowers exist. Number one, for God's glory. That's right, for God's glory. You know, there are galaxies. I find the study of the heavens, the stars, to be of great interest. There are galaxies that no human eye will ever see. Way out there, way past where any telescope will ever spot them. And you say, why, oh, why did God make those things? Why did He make those things? I can tell you, for His pleasure. That's why. That's what, for His pleasure. You see, we're so self-centered, we think everything is about man. Everything's about us. No, everything is not about us. Everything's about God and His glory. I wish that'd get a hold of our hearts. I wish that's a truth that just grab hold of us. He's the origin of creation. Everything's made for His glory. For His, the purpose of everything is to fulfill God's purpose and bring Him glory. Bring Him glory. All things in providence are of God. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Everything that comes to pass in what we call this matter, time, was predestinated by God in eternity. It's brought to pass by God's own good providence. Providence is God bringing to pass that which He eternally purposed for His own glory, for the good of His elect, and bringing redemption to pass. God said to Pharaoh, for this same purpose I raised you up. I raised you up. I might make My power known in thee, that My name might be declared amongst all the earth. I raised you up for My glory. For My glory. Everything that happens fulfills the purpose of God. I wrote that song, All Things Work Together for Good. We know the verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Any study of divine providence ought to reprove our hearts because of our horror. Inexcusable unbelief. And it ought to encourage us to trust our gracious, all-wise God. And we know, who knows these things? People who are taught of God. We know. I know we're ignorant by nature, but we've been taught some things by grace. We're taught that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that all things, not some things, a few things, but all things work together for good. For good. Temporal good, maybe. But mostly spiritual good. Everlasting good. To them that love God. Who loves God? We love Him because He first loved us. Who loves God? Those that are brought by effectual grace to love Him. Them who are the called according to His purpose, called irresistibly, called effectually to life and faith in Jesus Christ according to His purpose, His everlasting purpose, everything in providence owes its origin to God, and God's glory is the purpose, the end of all things. And all things in salvation are of God. Who chose us unto salvation? God did. I'm not ashamed of that doctrine, are you? Well, I'd tell everybody. If I could, I'd just tell everybody. The Lord chose me unto salvation. How do you know that, Jim? Because I've been brought to believe Him. See, faith is the evidence of election. It's what the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He said, knowing, brethren, beloved of God, beloved, your election of God. Oh, Paul, how do you know that they're elect of God? He said, because when the gospel came to you, it didn't just come in word only. It came in power and in much assurance. Assurance that this is the word of God. And you became followers of Me. You became followers of Me as I preached the gospel of God's grace. The word was effectually working in you, he said at the end of that chapter. All things in salvation are of God. He chose us unto salvation, and He redeemed us by the blood of His Son. He redeemed us. You didn't redeem yourself. You don't reconcile yourself to God. You don't make your peace with God. You don't have the credentials to stand eye to eye with God Almighty to make peace on your behalf. You had to have a mediator, an advocate, a representative, or as Job says, a daysman to stand between us and a holy God and satisfy all of God's demands and at the same time meet all of our needs. Enter Christ Jesus the Lord, who loved us and gave Himself for us, and thereby He satisfied God's justice, and He met our every need. For by His death we live unto righteousness. I tell you, all things in salvation are of God. Election, redemption, effectual calling. He sent you somebody to preach the gospel. Somebody to tell you the truth. Somebody to be honest with you. I heard Brother Henry say this, and you've heard him, those of you who've been here for a while, you've heard him say this. We're not playing games. We've been serious. We're serious about things of God. We're telling the truth. The truth is God in Jesus Christ has reconciled us unto Himself. And then He sends the Spirit who effectually, irresistibly works in us and brings us to Himself. And then He keeps us by His grace and by His power. He keeps us. Kept by the power of God. This is not of you. It's not of me. This is of the Lord. Our deliverance from the curse of the law, that's of the Lord. Our deliverance from perishing in hell, that's of the Lord. Our being stripped of our old self-righteous rags and robed in the beautiful righteousness of the Lord Jesus, that's of the Lord. Our being kept through this life, kept looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that's of the Lord. And someday we're going to wind up in glory. And we will say, it's of the Lord. I'm here by the grace of God. There's no other reason for me being here in this glorious, glorious city of God, except that the Lord did it all. He loved me in Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for me, sent His Spirit to draw me unto Himself, gave me faith to believe in repentance, to turn from my false gods. He kept me by His power, and now He's brought me into the celestial city where I shall evermore abide with my Savior. And why did He do that? It's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's what it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Well, let's sing.